Okay, good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Yes, as you have figured out from the Mar Mekoymes, this is not going to be a one-time deal. So if you're here now, you're signing up for the long haul. But
will you be printed by
Thanksgiving? We'll go over the date. So, right, exactly. So I titled the shiur Revisiting the Dateline, and people asked me, is that because that we started it? We've never had a shiur about this in the past, and the truth is we haven't. And the reason I did is because it's one of those topics that everyone discusses, a topic that people schmooze about, hack about, talk about, but every time you go through it in depth, clearly, first of all, there is more clarity in terms of the halacha, where the poskim are coming from, why they decided the way they decided. And in terms of what I want to go through a little bit more in depth this time around is, as we normally do, is the history, how the Piskei Halacha evolved. This is an interesting area of Halacha because it's really a new area of Halacha, a relatively new area of Halacha, which wasn't discussed. So you see how the Piskim approach something new, a new question, when it becomes to the forefront of halacha, it's fascinating to see how different styles approach such a question. So I don't only want to go through the Piskei Halacha itself, which many people might be familiar with already, if you've heard different shiurim, have learned the sugya before, but also the approach, the methodology with which each one of the Gedolei Yisrael who issued a decision on this, how did they come to their specific decision. But we have to start at the beginning. And again, we're going to go slowly and hopefully very methodically. So it will take us as long as until I see that you guys are getting sick of it. And don't give up on me. If you're getting sick on it, you tell me. And we'll move on. We'll continue this a different time. So let's begin first with discussing what is it exactly that is this dateline? Just the definition. What is a dateline and why? What is the international dateline and why is it necessary? So the definition of the international dateline, I'll just read it as follows, is an imaginary line of navigation on the surface of the Earth that runs from the North Pole to the South Pole and demarcates the change of one calendar day to the next. It passes through the middle of the Pacific Ocean, roughly following the 180-degree line of longitude, but deviating to pass around some territories and island groups. It's the line on the globe, the imaginary line on the globe, which demarcates the difference between one day and the next day. Where is the beginning of the Earth? Where is the end of the Earth? We know that the Earth, the globe, is a circle. It's a globe. It's a sphere. So we have to pick a point of where it begins and where it ends. Just to illustrate why this is so essential. Sometimes it's hard to... you could get confused thinking about these concepts because they're somewhat in theory... But just to make it very practical, I'll give it to you from two different points of view that have made it clearer for me as I was going through the sugya at different points in my life. Let's say a person is starting in New York, right? We're not going to get religious, go to Eretz Yisrael yet, we'll get that in a minute. Let's say a person is a real New Yorker and he's convinced that the beginning of the world, the entire world, the only real place in the world is New York, right? New York is where it's at. So, you know that if you go to the east of New York, it's known that the day is obvious, right? That the day is constantly, you're going back in time, right? In Eretz Yisrael right now, it's no longer Thursday night, it's well past Thursday night. You know if you go towards the east, you're going to get more later and later in time. We know that if we go towards the west, you're going to get earlier and earlier. If I go to LA now, it's not 8:22 at night of Thursday, but it's early. So if I go to the east, it gets later. I go to the west, it gets earlier. So then the obvious question becomes like this. So let's say I keep going to the east. I have one little man, right, on one of those men from the Monopoly games, and he continuously goes towards the east, and it's getting later and later and later, and it's going to Friday, and Shabbos later, later, later. And then I have one guy going towards the west, towards LA, and it's getting earlier and earlier and earlier. Eventually, these two guys meet, and what happens? One of them, it's not Friday, he got so late, it's not Friday anymore, it's already Shabbos. And when it comes to LA, it's the day before, it's Friday, right? Because one guy is getting later and later as he goes around the globe, the other guy is getting earlier and earlier, and eventually they're going to hit up. So you're going to get to a point on the globe where it's going to be two separate days in the same exact spot. And obviously that can't be. Can't be that it matters when you're in a specific spot on the globe. It can't depend on where you came from to decide what day it is. It's either Friday. If you came from New York, it's Friday. If you went the East Way, it's Friday. It's Shabbos. If you went the West Way, so it's Friday. It doesn't make any sense. Every place, every locale on the globe has to have a specific date. So this means by definition, since the earth is a sphere, by definition you have to tell me where does it begin and where does it end. Another way of demonstrating the same exact thing, just sometimes some people have an easier understanding it in different ways. Let's say a person wants to follow sunrise. So he gets up in New York and he's going to follow the sun today. He's going to go with his spaceship. He's going to follow the sun. Right now, New York, let's say sunrise today was around 7-something, 7:15. 7:15, he's with the sun. Then he follows the sun across the United States. And then he follows sunrise in Middle America. And sunrise in Middle America happens a little bit later. Then he follows sunrise. He's with sunrise in Los Angeles. It happens a little bit later. Sunrise on Thursday morning. Then he goes farther and farther. It's sunrise on Thursday morning, continuously sunrise on Thursday morning. Eventually, he'll be with the sun back in New York. And what will he be at? Sunrise on Thursday morning. How could that be? He just had sunrise on Thursday morning a few hours ago. So at what point do we say, no, it's no longer sunrise on Thursday morning anywhere. Now it's sunrise on Friday morning. There has to be a line on the globe somewhere where we say, this is the end of one day, this is the beginning of a new day. If you don't have such a line, so you're going to end up having people in the same place, depending on where they came from, they'll be having two separate days in the same exact place. One person will say, it's Thursday. The other person will say it's Friday. So just to demonstrate, that's a clear demonstration of why it's absolutely necessary. Once we figured out that the globe was actually a sphere, that was a very important realization. So then obviously, once you assume that the globe is a sphere, so there obviously has to be a place where we know is the beginning of the world, so to speak, and that's where we start. That's where the day begins, and once the sun gets around to this place, it's no longer that day. Now it's going to turn into the next day. Just to illustrate how the first people that discovered this problem, it was a little bit more of a real-life problem for them. It was in the 1490s, when Antonio Pigafetta was an Italian, I'm probably not pronouncing that right, but I hope none of you know. So the Italian chronicler of the first circumnavigation of the world by Portuguese explorer and navigator Ferdinand de Magellan, who first mentioned a peculiar incident. He said, I noticed something very strange. He was going around the globe with exploring different areas of the world, and he said, writes as follows in his notes. On Wednesday, the 9th of July in 1522, we arrived at one of these islands named Santiago, where we immediately sent the boat ashore to obtain provisions. And when we charged our men in the boat that when they were ashore, they should ask what day it was, they were answered that to the Portuguese it was Thursday, at which they were much amazed, for to us it was Wednesday. And we knew not how we had fallen into error. For every day, I, being always in health, had written down each day without any intermission. But as we were told since, there had been no mistake, for we had always made our voyage westward and had returned to the same place of departure as the sun. Wherefore, the long voyage had brought the gain of the 24 hours, as is clearly seen. So they actually experienced the problem of the dateline. If you don't have a dateline, you end up getting younger and younger and younger. It's a good life until eventually, right, you went backwards, you die, and you didn't live any years. So there's obviously a problem over here. There has to be an international dateline. I think we've proven it's not such a complicated thing. It's clear that it has to be. And now the question just becomes, for the Umos HaOlam, this is a question which is not so significant, because they basically, each place has its tradition, so to speak, has the minhag hamakom, we'll call it, of where they hold that day is. And as long as it works, it works. So there are a few places which weren't settled, so they had to decide exactly what day, what side of the international date line they were going to be. But for them, for sake of convenience, obviously they were going to pick. It doesn't matter where it is, random, it could be random. So obviously they were going to pick a place which was going to be the most convenient. That would be a place which is far away, doesn't hit as much land as possible. This way it doesn't confuse anyone. It's in the middle of the ocean, and therefore there is no problem. That's in fact what they did in the 19th century. You take a look on what you have as page number 4. It's the only colored page. Page number 4, you see the black line is the Civil International Dateline. That is the dateline which was agreed upon by the International Conference in the 19th century, where they met and they decided that not New York isn't the beginning of the world, surprisingly, but it's Greenwich, England is the beginning of the world, and therefore if that's the middle of the world, so then the world obviously has to begin 180 degrees on the total opposite end of the sphere, and that's where the day shifts, and that's this line that you see right over here, that black line. And according to the entire world, this is the international dateline. Now, that's very good for the world. It works. It's convention. It's very, very easy. It works well. So, no problem whatsoever. The problem becomes when you are Jewish and you have halacha. Because we don't assume that there's just any random place. You can make it up. There's a big difference in halacha if today is Wednesday or Thursday. Or if today's Thursday or Friday. Or today's Friday or Shabbos. Or perhaps Sunday's Yom Kippur. I have to know what day it is. I can't just live a life that, okay, you tell me it's Wednesday, you tell me it's Thursday, what difference does it really make? As long as everyone else agrees, we'll fool ourselves together. No, we have to know, what day is it? Primarily, firstly, because of Shabbos, and all the Yom Tovim, and we have many mitzvahs which are dependent on the day, right? Davening, tefillin, there's all sorts of things which we have to do, Sfiras HaOmer, right? There are all sorts of things which we have to do on the day. So if I don't know what day it is, so how in the world is this going to function? So you're going to tell me in the 19th century a bunch of people got together in Greenwich and they decided what day it is for the rest of the entire world? Okay, that's very nice. It's good for the sanity of most of the world, but it doesn't help me with regard to what halacha says. So we have to figure out what the halachic day is, where it begins, where is the beginning of the earth, where is the first place that the sun rises. Where does the sun set, and where is the beginning of the new day? At what point on the sphere, on the globe, do we say, no, it's no longer Tuesday morning, now it just became Wednesday morning, until it goes all the way around again, Wednesday morning, till it hits the same place, and now it's Thursday morning, we don't say it's Wednesday morning anymore. And that's what we have to figure out, where is that location?
I mean, what you call a day is really sort of arbitrary. I mean, it may well be that at some point in the globe, I mean, the sun rises the first time the sun rises. But that could be Tuesday. You can call it Tuesday. You can call it Wednesday. Call it what you want. Who decided, for instance, that Sunday, that's the first day of the week, and we call it? You know, I mean, from a halakhic point of view, we are using the convention.
Oh, so now you know why we're discussing this week, right? I was sitting here. Parshas Noach, you know, is always very difficult to figure out. Last year we did the Titanic, I'm glad you still remember, that I thought was creative, but I was all out of anything, what am I going to do? So I figured to go back a little bit to Bereishis, and it has what to do with Parshas Noach as well, as we will see shortly, probably by the time we get to Parshas Lech Lech, we'll see what it had to do with Parshas Noach. But it has certainly what to do with Sefer Bereishis, because I think, to answer your question is, where was the very first day? Where did the day begin? So at what point in the world, where was the first sunrise? When the Rebbeinu Shem created the world, right? Sheish Yimei Bereishis. Rebbeinu Shem created the world. The sun, he was matle ha-me'oros. He put the me'oros into the sky. Where was the first sunrise? Wherever that first sunrise was, so that's where the day began. And then by the time the earth rotates and the sun sets again and rises again in that place, that's the day number 2. And starting from there is where you begin to count Shabbosos, 6 weekdays, and the 7th day is Shabbos.
That, obviously, that didn't happen until whatever day 4 means in the Torah.
So day 4, exactly.
But day 4 is day 1 then, from our point of view, because there was no sun before day 1.
That's a general problem. You're asking a general problem. What does it mean that there was 3 days before the sun? If we count the day, yeah. So let's assume for this sake, for our purposes, our question is, on day 4, where the Rebbeinu Shem was matla the ma'oris, as we'll see clearly, where was the first sunrise? And then we'll know at what point we consider it the switch of the day when the sun gets back to that point. So this is the background, why we have to know. And again, you brought it right to the forefront. What are we in essence asking? Take a look at Mar Mokom number 2. Vayomer Elokim yehi me'oraz birakiya hashamayim lehavdil bein hayom uvein halayla. I'm putting the light in the sky. And you know, a Jewish calendar, we need the light, we need the sun, we need the moon, we have to know what day it is. Says Rashi, Miyom Risha Nivru, the sun, moon, everything was created on the first day. And he placed them in the sky on the fourth day. V'chein kol todah shemayim v'aretz nivru miyom rishon. Everything according to Rashi was created already on the first day. V'kol echa v'echa nikva b'yoyim shenigzar alav hu shekosav v'shemayim l'rabos has told the same v'aretz l'rabos told the same. So one way of framing the question, and we will see many Chachmei Yisrael have framed the question in such a way, is, yeah, enechanami, where was that first sunrise? You tell me where the first sunrise was, so we'll know when the second sunrise was, and at what point when the day switches. Others have approached the question. These are all concepts that we will come into contact with very shortly. Well, let me figure out where the Rabbeinu Shlom views the center of the world. If I knew where the center of the world is, it would be hard to imagine that God would decide Greenwich. But if while we could figure out where God thinks the center of the world is, so then I know where the end of the world is. Where would the obvious place be that the Rebbeinu Shem considers the center of the world? Tabor Ha'aretz, like the Pasuk tells us in Yechezkel, the Gemara tells us in Meseches Sanhedrin, and in fact, this is my connection to Parshas Noach, a little bit weaker than last year, but if you take a look in many of the Midrashim, the Zohar writes like this, and other Midrashim as well, the Mabul, this is an interesting fact, Machloikis, Mabul did not affect Eretz Yisrael. Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael according to many Shitas, and the Torah Mincha writes, because it was Tabor Ha'aretz, the center of the world, from where everything else emanated, therefore that center the Rebbeinu Shem didn't destroy. If you destroyed that, it would have been complete destruction, but the Tabor Ha'aretz, which literally means the navel of the world, the center of the world, was left remaining, according to many Shitas, and that was Eretz Yisrael. So if Eretz Yisrael is Yerushalayim, perhaps even Harabayis, more precisely, is the center of the world, then everything becomes very simple. Then I figure out 180 degrees across the globe where that is, and there is the international
day. Why 180 degrees?
Why else?
360 is the whole thing.
Because 360 is the whole thing, so you have to... That's the extent of my math, so...
What time is 180 degrees from Yerushalayim?
180 degrees we would consider to be 12 hours. Right.
12 hours. Right. So 12 hours would be, if sunrise was at, sunrise was there at...
I was hoping not to get into these conversations.
No, I'm just trying to be practical what you're saying.
Yeah.
If sunrise is 7 o'clock in Yerushalayim.
It means the day started, the first sunrise on, let's say, Sunday morning was 12 hours, so let's say sunrise is 7 o'clock one day.
Yeah.
So in Yerushalayim, it's 7 o'clock. That means that the day really, when it gets to 12 hours later, that's when it switches to Tuesday to Monday morning. And when it goes around the globe again, 24 hours later, that's when it switches to Wednesday morning.
So 24 hours from
25.
Right. So Yerushalayim is
smack in the middle.
Smack in the middle.
It's Tabor Ha'aretz.
It's, okay, and what... What time? And they're viewing time at 12:01, and we don't view from halach perspective the day is from 12:01 and 12:01.
Okay, but we'll divide for our that shouldn't throw things off. We have to in Echnami, we'll have to adjust it based on our timing. But in terms of the concept, we'll have to adjust it based on how long the day is and how long the night is. Shalzmani is. But in terms of the concept, we could use the regular regular 60-minute hour to understand the concept. So let's say 12 hours. We'll use the Gaisha system to understand the concept because I think most of us are more familiar with that. And it'll be much harder to give the shir if we're using Shalos Manias. And then we'll apply it accordingly. I don't think it should throw anything. If you disagree, so then we can discuss it.
I just want to understand. So yeah.
180 degrees is 12 hours. 90 degrees, which we'll see, is 6 hours. It's a regular, right? 180, 24 hours across, 360 degrees. That's the basic cheshbon. Okay. So that is the question. Where is the beginning of the world? Where is the middle of the world? Where is the end of the world? This was all nice in theory. Now, you shouldn't think for a moment. We're going to jump into a point in history which was very recent, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with the story. We're going to discuss a time where this came up most recently and most prominently. It's interesting. Most recently and most prominently, it took place in the year 1941, when the Mir Yeshiva, and together with the Mir Yeshiva, less well-known, the Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, were escaping from the war, and they escaped through Shanghai. Before they got to Shanghai, they came to Japan, to Kobe, Japan. Over there, there is a major question of the dateline, as we will see shortly why there is a question. They knew there was a question of the dateline, and that's when they began to send shilas to Eretz Yisrael, to the Gedolei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, and most of the scholarship, most of the tshuvas that we have on the topic came from that tkufa. That is not to say that Chachmei Yisrael didn't deal with this before then. On the contrary, one who delves into the sugya gives a new appreciation for our tradition, because it wasn't simply alluded to this issue, this problem, in previous works. There are many, many works from the Rishonim. You have a sefer called the Yesod Olam, a Talmud of the Rosh, an entire sefer which deals with these type of issues, and he gives a lengthy discussion to where does the earth begin, where does it end. You have a sefer called Soda Iber, also from the Rishonim. But the difference is that they were talking about in theory. They didn't have a Shaila Halacha L'maisa. What day is Yom Kippur, Rabbi? That wasn't the question. The question they were discussing in theory, what happened. So therefore, the issue becomes very difficult when I'm trying to paskin a shayla halach lamaisa. But one shouldn't think that it was a total vacuum and we came to the year 1941 and we had nothing. No, we did. We had a lot. We had a tradition. We had a lot of people, Chachmei Yisrael, Rishonim, that spoke about it. And therefore, we just had to glean out which we thought was the most appropriate. So comes the year 1941, the Mir Yeshiva and Chachmei Lublin, they're in Kobe, Japan, and they realize that they might have an issue with the dateline. They may have crossed over the dateline, and the Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Lezer Yehuda Finkel, and the Mashkiach, Reb Chatzka Levinstein, decide they're going to write a Shaila to Eretz Yisrael. Now, Shiloh, they sent to Eretz Yisrael. It's unclear who they sent it to first. There's a lot of politics. We'll get involved in the dirty politics also, but let's try to keep it clean for now. They sent the Shiloh. Clearly, the Shiloh came to the Chazon Ish. What's interesting to note is the Chazon Ish was not yet known as the Chazon Ish. This almost was the issue, according to many historians, this was the issue that made the Chazon Ish into Chazon Ish. And he was adamant about his opinion. And his opinion was the one that Reb Chetzkel Levinstein got up in yeshiva, made a clap on the bima, and said that whoever follows Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu follows the Chazon Ish. And it wasn't simple at all. The Chazon Ish at that point was still somewhat living in a certain state of obscurity. Chazon Ish came to Eretz Yisrael. He lived B'nai Brak. B'nai Brak was not what B'nai Brak is right now. B'nai Brak was a town. No one knew what B'nai Brak was. My Rebbe once told me that he saw a letter written by a person who lived in Bnei Brak to a person living in Yerushalayim. The person in Yerushalayim is trying to convince the person in Bnei Brak back in those years, come to Yerushalayim where there's Talmidei Chachamim and there's Torah and there's livelihood, there's Yiddish guys getting back on its feet again. And the person writes back to him, he says, you should see what we have in Bnei Brak. We have simple Pshutei Am who just, they don't even know, barely know Aleph Beis. They sit and they say Tehillim all day. You should see how these people say Tehillim and they cry when they say Tehillim. A guy like a Karelitz who sits in the Beis Medrash, he says Tehillim. No one knew who Chazon Ish was. Then he became the Chazon Ish. That was many years later. But that's why there was so much. Chazon Ish was not Chazon Ish yet when this happened. And therefore, this was the stance. This was one of the many stances that he took and turned him into the leader of the Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael at the time. And one could, at that point, the reason why there's so much lack of clarity over who to follow is because, you see, the Chazon Ish wasn't clearly the Gadol Hador yet, it was still unclear, and therefore there was room for many different shitas to be espoused. But that was the Chazon Ish, and he's a major player, as we will see shortly in this discussion. What did the Chazon Ish, what was it? So the letter comes to the Chazon Ish, and what was the Chazon Ish's position? Now you have to understand, until now, they didn't write the letter the first week that they got to Japan. The first week, they didn't know how long they'd be there. The first week, so they kept 2 days Shabbos, right? He kept the next week 2 day Shabbos. Ultimately, it gets somewhat cumbersome to keep 2 day Shabbos every single week. And then they realize what's coming up. Yom Kippur is coming up. 2 days Yom Kippur. 2 day Shabbos is one thing. 2 days Yom Kippur. Now we're
2 day Shabbos every week.
At the beginning, they didn't know what to do. They were misuplik what day it was. They didn't know what day it was. They only kept one Shabbos. They just didn't know if they were keeping which day was supposed to be Shabbos. What? Okay, we'll see.
Isn't it so that if you don't know, then you count 6 days? And
we'll get to this Gemara. Not so simple at all. We'll get to this Gemara probably next week. But they were keeping 2 days, and they write to the Chazon Ish, and they say, we need a psak halacha. Enough of this ambiguity. I had a friend, who we'll see, who lived in Australia. He was a Baal Tshuva, very bright guy. Actually, now I think he lives in Bnei Brak. But he was a Baal Tshuva, and he left Australia. He became frum when he was in America. And while he became frum, he was learning about the dateline issue, and we'll see Australia is a major dateline issue. And when I had known him, he hadn't been back many years. But he went, had to go back one time to visit family. And he went back and it happened to be a 3-day Yom Tif. So it was a 3-day Yom Tif where he had 2 3-day Yom Tifs. And he had to keep all the sveikas of the day because he was a very firm person. He ended up keeping like a month of Yom Tif. But so you see, it could get somewhat complicated. So they keep 2 days of Shabbos at the beginning. And then they write to Chazon Ish and the other Gedolei Yisrael. They say, okay, we need a Psak Halacha. Chazon Ish was fighting the tide. Why? Because this was not for the first time this happened in history. This happened in World War II, but this also happened in World War I. A lot of this I'm getting from an article written by Reb David Palmer. This happened in World War I as too. People ran to Japan as well. And over there, they sent the Shaila also to Gedolei Yisrael. The Shaila Tshuva was Mishbir Yam, was one of the ones who wrote in it at that time. And he writes in his Tshuva, how could it be that we have people walking around? The whole world is saying it's Saturday. And you're going to be b'mechal Shabbos? He said, I can't fathom such a thing. It sounds like almost like an emotional psak. He says, it can't be such a thing. So he says, you keep Shabbos on Shabbos. So that was the status quo. The people on Saturday. Sorry, you should keep Shabbos on Saturday. Right, thank you. You should keep Shabbos on Saturday. That was the status quo.
Of the town called Saturday.
Correct. Yes, what the world called Saturday, and there were some Jews there. And the Jewish community there, a small Jewish community, but the Jewish community there, and they always kept Saturday as Shabbos. So that was the status quo. So when they write to Chazon Ish is now taking on the status quo. Not a simple thing at all. He's telling people that you're keeping the wrong day of Shabbos. He's telling the community that you have been keeping the wrong day of Shabbos. So how did he get to this conclusion? Again, I don't want to just go through the shittas.
Which means all of the Yom Tov.
One day off.
For a long time.
Yep. Okay, so I don't want to just go through the shittas. We've all heard the different shittas before. I want to understand well how the different poskim got to the different shittas. Chazon Ish was a purist. Chazon Ish says, we go through this shaila like every other shaila. How do you go through a shaila? You go through shas, and you go through poskim, rishonim, and achronim, and you see who talks about it. So I go through a gemara, I go through Shas Bavli, says the Chazon Ish, and there's one single gemara on all the pages of Shas Bavli, which can be relevant to the question of the dateline. Chazon Ish says, I don't care what all the other rishonim theorize, and what all the other shita think makes most sense. If I have a gemara in Shas Bavli that's understood as it telling me where the beginning of the world is and where the end of the world is, that's how we paskin a shaila. I don't care what they've been doing. What gemara did the Chazon Ish find? Let's take a look at a gemara in Meseches Rosh Hashanah, where the gemara tells us as follows. Amar Shmuel, Marmakom number 4. Amar Shmuel, Yechilna Litikune Likoyla Goyla. Shmuel was saying that I know the astronomy so well, I could be misaking the calendar for all of Gauls. Amar Le Abba Avua de Rabbi Simloi, Lishmuel, Yodamar Hai Milsa. What about this? Let me give you, you think you know it so well? Let me ask you about this. Titanya Besoida Iber, what does this mean? Nolad Kodem Chatzos. Oh, no, Lord, Acher Chatzos. There's a distinction between whether the Moilad happened prior to Chatzos in Eretz Yisrael, or whether the Moilad happened after Chatzos in Eretz Yisrael. What's that distinction? They ask Shmuel. Amar Leilot, he says, you're right, I don't know. And the Gemara goes on and says, well, if you don't know this, so how come you're so confident you know everything else? And the Gemara goes on. At the end of the day, the Gemara ends up explaining, what does this mean? Noiler koidem chatzois, or noiler acher chatzois. What's the difference? Says the Gemara, tzorech shiyehei laila v'yoy min hachodash. Menachodesh, menachodesh. Vizusha Amar Abba Avud Ribsimoi. Mechashmines told also. No dim kodem chat, no let kodem chatzos. Biyadua shenire samach lishkia sachamo. Lo no de kodem chatzos. Biyadua shalo nire samach lishkia sacham. Let me tell you very briefly how Rashi understands this Gemara. And the way Rashi understands this Gemara has zero relevance to our shir. Rashi understands the Gemara saying very simply that there is a rule, if you're going to be Mekadesh Lilavana, that the moon has to be seen in Eretz Yisrael on that day. Before Shkia, before the day leaves, you have to be able to see the moon. And Rashi says there's another fact. Now, it happens to be that this does not seem to be factual, but Rashi understands this to be a fact. That if you, the molad, again, the molad is when the earth, the moon, and the sun are all lined up, therefore you can't see the moon. That's when the moon is sort of born, the new cycle begins, right? If the earth and the sun and the moon are all lined up, so there's no reflection of the moon, you can't see the moon. That's what's called conjunction, I think it's called. So they're all lined up in one line, that's why we can't see the moon at the beginning of the month. Then it begins to shift away from the sun, you can begin to see it. So when they're all lined up, that's called the molad. So, if the molad happens before chatzos, says Rashi, then it's possible you won't be able to see it for 6 hours, but 6 hours later you'll be able to see the new moon, and that will still be before the new day. So all the Gemara is telling us is very simple. If you want to be Mekadesh L'Chodesh, in a way, to make sure that you're able to see the new moon in Eretz Yisrael at some point on Rosh Chodesh, it has to be that the Molad took place before 6 hours before. Because if the Molad only took place after Chatzos, the moon will not be visible until the next day, in which case you can't be Mekadesh L'Chodesh. Again, very interesting fact, has nothing to do with our Gemara. You go through Daf Yoimi, Gemara Rashi, even Gemara Rashi Tosfos, there is no sugya and shas that relates to the date one. However, there is another way of understanding this Gemara, and that is the shita of the Baal Amor. The Baal Amor asks many, many questions on Rashi, rejects the shita of Rashi. The Baal Amor understands the Gemara to be saying as follows, and this Baal Amor is the most important. This is the crux of the entire sugya. According to the Chazon Ish, it's closed after this Baal Amor. We have one of the Rishonim understand the Gemara, a Gemara Mufureshes. What would you want more to Paskin Shaila than Gemara Mufureshes? Says the Baal Amor. What does the Gemara mean? What does the Gemara mean? Noilet before Chatzos, noilet after Chatzos. The Baal Amor says there is a rule. The rule is that if I'm going to be Mekadesh the Chodesh, so I have to have it that the entire day is part of that month. I need the entire day to be part of the month. Now, what does that mean? You need the entire day to be part of the month. If you see the Chodesh, if you see the new moon, so I'm going to be Mekadesh the Chodesh in the middle of the day, so the entire day is not going to be part of the new month. Says the Baal Amor, no. What I mean is that there has to be a place in the world where the entire day was a part of the new month. So if you could ascertain that there is a single location in the world after a Mekadesh L'Chodesh, there's a place in the world that both the night and the following day was all part of the new Chodesh. It all took place after the Moilad, after the new Chodesh. So then, I could be Mekadesh L'Chodesh. Because there has to be a place in the world where both the night and the day, the entire thing, is part of the new Chodesh. So what? Let's say Shkia for now. Let's say Shkia for now. So what is the Baal Amor basically telling me? I have to know where in the world does the day start the last time. If the Baal Amor is telling me, if I want to be Mekadesh L'Chodesh in Eretz Yisrael, I want to be Mekadesh L'Chodesh in Eretz Yisrael. I could only do it if I know that there's going to be, let's say it's on a Wednesday. I only know the entire Wednesday, someplace in the world, has to experience the entire Rosh Chodesh. So I have to know where is the last place in the world that will experience Wednesday. If I could figure out where the last place in the world that experienced Wednesday, so as long as I'm a Kadesh L'Chodesh before the point in time where that place began their Wednesday, so then I could be Mekadesh L'Chodesh. That means, according to the Baal Amor, we have to know where is it, the last place in the world, Where is the last place in the world going to be that they will experience the day? Because I have to know when I'm being Mekadesh Chodesh that their day has not started yet. If I can figure out that their day has not started yet, then I could be Mekadesh Chodesh. If their day has already begun, that means that no matter where you are in the world, Wednesday has begun, so then I can't be Mekadesh Chodesh, because there's not one place in the world that the entire Wednesday will be part of the New Chodesh. If I want to be Mekadesh Chodesh, says the Balamar, I have to make sure that there is a place in the world that the entire day that I'm being Mekadesh will be part of the Rosh Chodesh. So there's a place in the world that hasn't started when I'm being Mekadesh Chodesh on this Wednesday. Is there a place in the world that hasn't started Wednesday yet? They're still on Tuesday? Then I could be Mekadesh Chodesh. If there's no place in the world that's still on Tuesday, everyone started Wednesday already. Some are already on Thursday, so then I can't be Mekadesh Chodesh. So obviously, according to the Baal Mor, you have to now tell me, well, where is that magical place? Where is that place that I look at to see if you haven't started Wednesday yet, I'm allowed to be Mekadesh Chodesh, because you're the last people that will experience Wednesday. That's the question facing the Baal Mor. Now that the Baal Mor told us that it's very important for us to know where the last place in the globe to experience a day will be, so he has to tell us, so where is that last place in the globe? Where do I look to see if they haven't started the day yet? That means I could be Mekadesh Chodesh. If they started the day, that means that the whole world started the day. Where does the day begin? Where is it?
But every month, the molar is in a different spot, so you never have the same spot that the whole day is.
So you, but you have.
In other words, the molar jumps a day 12 hours and 40 minutes in the
right,
clock.
Right.
So if it's in
but you still
Los
have
Angeles
to,
today,
right,
this month, next month, it's going to be at the other end of the world.
But you still have to. But no matter what, you have to know where the day begins, because I have to know whatever
but
day I want.
This month, the day begins here.
No. The day begins in the same place every time.
But if
the molar doesn't decide when the day begins. The dateline decides
which
whether they...
Which month do you use?
You use the Moila of that month.
Yeah, that month. So that's when you have... The day starts then. Next month, the Moila starts
it
someplace else.
The Moila, but the day is always made... Where the day changes is always the same.
No, it doesn't, because the Moila... Where the Moila is the whole day.
The Moila has nothing to do with the day.
Right.
No, Moila has to do with Rosh Chodesh.
The Moila has to be for Chatzos.
Right.
Right, so for Chatzos today is in Japan. Right?
No, Yerushalayim.
No, before Chatzos in Yerushalayim.
No.
It has to be before Chatzos in Yerushalayim. Why? We'll explain in a minute why it has to be that way. So comes the Baal Mor and says that this is what the Gemara means. The Gemara is telling me that it has to be before the Moilet has to be before Chatzos in Eretz Yisrael. Why does it have to be before Chatzos in Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara is telling me what? Where the last place in the world is. The Gemara is saying, if the Moilet is before Chatzos on this Wednesday, let's say, in Eretz Yisrael, that means that the Moilet, there is still a place in the world that hasn't started Wednesday yet. That means there's still a place in the world that is still on Tuesday. The very last place in the world where the world ends is still experiencing the end of Tuesday. If the Moilet happens after Chatzos, then the whole
Chatzos
world already...
Day,
let's say Chatzos day. Why should it make a difference?
I just want to know where we go.
What?
You have to
let's say Chatzos day.
Chatzos day. Tom.
Yeah, Chatzos day before Shkia.
Chatzos day before Shkia. The 12 o'clock noon, let's say for argument's sake, it's 12 o'clock noon.
Yeah.
So then you have to find out when Shkia was for the farthest east from Yerushalayim?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying that the Gemara is telling us, you want to know where the last place in the world to experience a day is, I'll tell you where it is. It's a very simple formula. If the Moilet happens by Chatzos, if the Moilet happens after Chatzos, that means the last place in the world already changed the day. They already had Shkia Sachama and the day is over everywhere in the world. But if the Moilet happens prior to Chatzos in Yerushalayim, that means that there is still a place in the world that is still experiencing Tuesday. It's not Wednesday yet. So now the calculation is very simple. If it's based on Chatzos, right, that means that noon, midday, is noon, midday on Wednesday. That if the Moilet is before that, the Gemara is telling me there is still a place in the world which hasn't had Shkia yet. That means I go 6 hours before east, and once, because, and that is the early, that is the latest Shkia. Once I go 6 hours east, so then it's the beginning of the night over there, and that is when they are beginning the new day. So, since it's based on Chatzos, The Gemara tells us very simply. If the Gemara says, if it's based on Chatzos, that means that where is the new day? The new day is happening 90 degrees to the east of Eretz Yisrael. Because 90 degrees to the east of Eretz Yisrael, that's where the sun is setting when Chatzos is taking place in Yerushalayim. So when Chatzos is taking place in Yerushalayim, the sun is setting in the last final place in the world. So now, all we have to figure out, go to Chatzos. When it's Chatzos in Yerushalayim, go to the place in the world where the sun is setting at that location, and that is the beginning of the world. That's where the world shifted. Chazon Ish says very simply, the Baal HaMor tells us, figure out, when it's Chatzos in Yerushalayim, where is the sun setting? You go, says the Chazon Ish, check it out, you go 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, that's where the sun is setting when it's Chatzos in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore 90 degrees east of Eretz Yisrael, says the Chazon Ish, is the beginning of the world. Where does that line put you? Take a look at number 4. Right through Siberia, Australia, right to the east of China. So that's how the Chazon Ish comes to his conclusion. A bit complicated, but again, it's a very clear deduction from our Gemara. Chazon Ish says, the Gemara, based on the Baal HaMor, the Gemara basically told us that wherever you're experiencing Chatzos in Yerushalayim, where at that exact moment, the place in the world is existing, the place in the world where they're experiencing Shkia, that's the place in the world where the world is ending. That's the last place in the world to experience the day. So where is that? Says the Chazon Ish, that's 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. That's where the day switches. And therefore, there is a large gap. You have places, entire places, such as Siberia, most of Australia, Japan, which, according to the Chazon Ish, has one day, and according to the secular world, the international dateline, has another day. Because according to the international dateline, the day already shifted once you got past the black line. So Japan and all these places are already experiencing Saturday. But according to the Chazon Ish, no, it's not Saturday yet. It's still Friday until you cross over my line. So until you cross over my line, says the Chazon Ish, that what they just experienced wasn't Saturday, that was really Friday. And therefore, you can't keep Shabbos on Saturday. You have to keep Shabbos on what they call to be Sunday. Chazon Ish says there seems to be a clear Gemara where the international dateline is, where the world begins, where the world ends. And therefore, there's no choice. We have to draw the line over here, 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. You Talmidim in Japan, don't keep Shabbos on Saturday. Don't keep Yom Kippur on that year on Wednesday. You keep Shabbos on Sunday. You keep Yom Kippur on Thursday. Just to take a look, we have to stop now at the strength with which the Chazon Ish wrote it. Take a look at page 19. Says the Chazon Ish, Achim Yikarim, Ichlo Ochlo B'Yoyim HaRevi'i, eat on Wednesday, Vitsoimo Tainis Yom Kippur. You understand what that means? That means that the rest of the world is viewing that day to be Yom Kippur. Says Chazon Ish, you're eating on Yom Kippur. Vitsoimo Tainis Yom Kippur B'Yom HaChamishi, and he knew that they wouldn't be happy about this, Va'al Tachushu L'Shum Dover. And don't be nervous about it. I'm 100% confident that this is the Halacha Maaseh. They came to Chazon Ish and said, could we be choishish for both? And then we'll start fasting on Wednesday. If it comes to Sakonis, the Fashos will break it, but at least we be choishish for both. He says, what are you talking about? You have a Chiv Daraisa to eat on Wednesday. It's the 9th of Av. You can't fast on Wednesday, on the 9th of Tishrei. You have a Chiv, Yom Chi. You can't fast that day. You think you're being Machmir, you're being Mekel on a Mitzvah Daraisa. He was 100% confident, based on this understanding of the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, based on the understanding of Baal HaMor. I'm sorry if it was somewhat complicated, but we've got over the hump. That was the most complicated part. From now on, it'll be a smooth sail. What? It's a question of a lot of controversy.
He was an unknown quantity.
He wasn't unknown, but he wasn't who he was, how we view him.
You know?